Our astute lector pointed out to me before Holy Mass started the apparent irony which we heard at the end of the first reading, that we said thanks be to God too. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of his sword. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes the things we say thanks be to God at, and we don't necessarily always understand them, or they may seem ironic to our ears, and they may make us laugh or chuckle a little bit. And part of this is because God and his ways are so incredibly beyond our ways. When we think of God, and when we think of who we are, his creatures, there's an infinite gap in between us and God. When we think of that question that Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, what made him tick was that phrase, know thyself. He looked into himself and he wanted to figure out what is he all about? Does God have a sense of humor that he existed and that he is the way he is? Or is he wonderfully, beautifully created for something more than just the 70 or 80 years that he had on the face of this earth? And when he looked into the depths of his soul and he asked himself these profound questions of life that we all ask ourselves, he realized, firstly, I did not create myself. I do not continue to keep myself in being, in existence. There must be something greater than me, which made me, which gave me everything that I have, which made everything that is in the world. In Aristotle, a man who didn't know the Jewish faith, who didn't know Jesus Christ because he didn't come into the world yet, he knew that he had to have been created. Because as The Sound of Music tells us, if you've seen it, there's that beautiful song and the most profound truth that nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. When we think about that and the impact that that has in each and every single one of our lives, that means that before the whole world existed, before everything that is was, that means that God thought of each and every single one of us. It means that he loved each and every single one of us before we came into existence in this world. And it means that when our parents loved us into existence, at the moment of our conception, God gave us the greatest gift that anybody could receive, a soul. And the really cool thing about Aristotle is he discovered this soul that we have, this soul which is an infinite abyss, which has a deep longing for the truth. Like, look at little kids and the questions that they ask. Mommy, Daddy, who is that? Why is he dressed like that? Why did God create me? What am I created for? And another profound thing that little kids say as well, that we probably always said when we were little kids too, Mommy and Daddy, I love you. I love you. The beautiful reality that we're created by God to know him because he is the truth. And our parents teach us how to know God. And then the second beautiful reality that we're created to love God because God is love itself. And our parents teach us that, and they show us God's goodness, and they show us God's love. And we respond to our parents by saying, I love you. Thank you, Mom and Dad. So how does this all fit in to our Lord's teaching to pray always and not to weary? That seems humanly impossible because we know we sleep at least 8 hours of the day. Some of us more, some of us less. So how can we be praying to God when we're not even conscious? We may have some wild, crazy dreams and, you know, that who knows where those come from sometimes. But how do we pray without ceasing? And it comes back to who we are. We are God's creature. God is our creator. Everything that we have is because God has given it to us. Even the most profound reality of our lives, life itself, God has given that to us. And we know as well that God knows everything because he's the divine artist. He's the creator. He made everything as beautiful as it is because he wanted it that way, including you and me. And he knows what we're going to ask him before we even ask. So you might ask yourselves, why should I even pray if he already knows? Why is it worth it? And there's many things we could say about prayer, but there's a profound reality that I think we should take away today about prayer. Is that God, he wants to hear from us. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And he wants to be our best friend. He already knows what we're going to ask. He already knows what we want. But he wants us to want him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to talk with him. One of the beautiful things about being able to be in the school here every day and see the kids is see how they form relationships, how they are friends with their friends, what they do. They love spending time with each other. They love hanging out. They love talking. And it made me think about the relationship that God wants to have to us, with us. And it's as simple as friendship. It's no different than what the kindergartners are doing. It's no different than what the eighth graders are doing. It's spending time with our friends, having a conversation with them heart to heart, showing them, telling them what makes us tick, what we love doing, what breaks our heart, what we need help with. That's what God wants to be for us. That's at the base. That's what prayer is. It's just being in the presence of your best friend. In the highest form of love, which husbands and wives may experience, the power of that love, the reality of that love, is expressed in silence. That's crazy, but the true language of love is silence. Being able to be in your loved one's presence, that loving gaze, that loving look, that loving caress. And it says more than what words can express. And that's the language that God speaks with us. When it may seem that he doesn't answer our prayers, even Jesus experienced that. Think of the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Olives. He said, Lord, if it's your will, let this chalice of suffering pass, but not my will, but yours be done. Seemingly a prayer unanswered, but he knew that God was present to him because he was God himself, but also for us. God is present to us in the most profound way because he keeps us at every single moment in our existence. And more profoundly, by faith, by grace, he is there dwelling in our souls as our best friend. And we, as a husband and wife, can dwell in each other's presence without words and love each other. We can do the same with God, knowing that he's there for us. Same thing with the Blessed Sacrament, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. I will be with you until the end of the ages. He dwells with us in silence to show us that he's there for us, that he's got our back, that he will mow down spiritually our enemies, because God is on our side. He fights for us, and he wants us to be with him in heaven for all eternity. May Almighty God bless us and our families, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I believe in one God.